Now, will you open the Bible afresh tonight to the same text we had this morning, Matthew chapter 7. This morning we spoke on the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ to agonize, to strive, to enter in the straight gate. Agonize. To enter in the straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, straight gate. We've been told by well-meaning people that the matter of becoming a Christian is a very simple matter, and it would be simple if we were nice people. If we were nice people, good people, loved righteousness, hated wickedness, panted after holiness, the matter of coming to Christ savingly would be just mighty easy. But since we're not nice people, and since we are ruined by the fall, and since we are enemies of God, and since we are hostile to holiness, the Lord, knowing the truth about us, tells us the truth, that if we hope to get into the straight gate, we'll have to make it a matter of agony. No one ever gets saved except they storm the gates violently. There's scripture for that. And that is a word that we, if we value our own souls, we would not just let go in one ear and out the other. Tonight we want to talk about that narrow way, the entrance to which is this difficult gate that a man has to agonize to get through the gate. That door back there is a way to get out of this building, but it's also a way to get in. When the door is shut, it keeps people out. When the door is open, people can come in. And if we might think of it, that the way might be described as a journey from the door back there to, say, this pulpit stand, and recognizing afresh that the way to get to this pulpit stand without coming through the door that admits you into the building, we first want to get in the right door, wouldn't we? And then we want to be dead certain that we walk in the direction of this pulpit stand if we ever hope to make it. Salvation is more than a beginning. It's a walk. And I invite you to hear tonight. Let me read the scriptures, verses 13 and 14, one more time, of the seventh chapter, if I did not call your attention to it, of the Gospel of Matthew. Tomorrow night, God willing, we hope to speak on how people get on the broad road, the broad way, that is mentioned by the Lord in this passage of Scripture. And then Tuesday night, God willing, we hope to speak on how people get on the narrow way that we want to describe or let the Bible describe for us tonight. Our Lord says in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Then he gives us the reasons for his injunction. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You would not strive to get in the gate if it's wide, but it is wide. There is a wide gate, says the Lord. And of course, because it's wide, it would be very difficult to go through. But this wide gate and this broad way, our Lord says, leads to destruction. And then he adds to the terribleness of the scripture by stating, many there be which go in thereat, this wide gate, many go in and thus walk in this broad way. Because straight is the gate, the reason so many tumble into this wide gate, walk this broad way, is because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And then he makes a heart-rending statement, but he makes it. And few there be that find this straight gate that leads to a narrow way that leads to life. I do not resent people who resist my message. I do not think that if people dug at me like I dig at you, that I expect I'd resent it too. Here I come along, haven't got much sense, and I'm finding fault with everything. I can't find anything to brag on. And I'm digging. I'm doing my dead level best. I don't know whether that's much or not. Not much unless the Holy Ghost owns it. To rob you of your assurance. Because I think the first work of the Holy Ghost is confusing people. I think that's scripture. If I could rob you of your assurance that you're a child of God, then your assurance is not very good. I know that although I may cause some child of God some needless pain, I cannot unsave a saved person. So I don't have to worry about that. But I do believe that we've lived all of our days without the flowing of the Holy Ghost. You do not believe that just be in a service where you have just a little tiny rain drop from heaven. It's wonderful. It's been so dry so long. And when the river's not flowing, the river of God, it's hard sailing. Used to on the farm, you get up in the morning, you should have stayed in bed. Everything went wrong. The old plow wouldn't work right. One mule would want to go fast, another want to go slow. Oh, it was just everything went wrong. Well, it's been that way all the days of your life and mine. You and I have really been living in the dying stages of Christianity in our nation. The corpse gets looking more like a corpse every day. And in such circumstances, it would be the most natural thing on earth for a person to put his confidence in something that's not worthy of confidence, and to be given an assurance and a peace that the Lord does not give. What I'm trying to say is that in that old trite expression that the preachers used, but I use it again. If there ever was a time, my dear friends, to give some attention to the teaching of the Word of God that bids us in the proper time to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Now, all the days of my ministry, we told, oh, don't look at yourself, look to Christ. That sounds awful good. But the scriptures say, at the proper time, you ought to examine yourself. The scriptures say that we ought to be able to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And I believe in these awful gasping days when lifelessness is everywhere and vitality in the things of the Lord is so at such a low ebb. I think that we ought to really give ourselves in these days where Christianity is assumed instead of lived. We ought to give ourselves an examination of whether we are on the broad road or on the narrow road. And since all the preacher can do is to bring out the word the best to know how, and only you can examine yourself. And since God's not going to slip up on you on the blind side and take you to heaven without you being conscious of something being going on, I believe under God that the hour calls for everybody now to give an examination, turn the spotlight on yourself, ask God to establish you or discover you. And so I appreciate you listening. You see, I believe we've been going downhill so long that all of this foolish talk about God's going to revive us in the state we're in, He can do it, but I don't want to be presumptuous. Are you walking this narrow way? Are you in this broad way? There never has been such a revival of religion as we've been going through in the last few years. Even the old, what we call heathen religions are on the march. Mohammedanism is becoming missionary minded as they never were. And it'll shock you to remember, or for me to call afresh to your attention, that for every Protestant, so-called Christian missionary the world around, there are now 10 Mohammedan missionaries. They got 10 people preaching their gospel to every one Christian missionary. It may shock you to learn that Billy Graham tells us that 9 out of 10 of the people who were supposedly converted in his ministry in Africa, 9 out of 10 of them remain Mohammedans, whatever that means. General MacArthur begged American Christians to sow Japan down with Bibles some years since when he was the commander over there, the occupation. We is too busy buying cigarettes and bubble gum. And we didn't do it. And now Shintoism is on the march. Christianity seems to be playing out in Japan. And in America, what a wave of religion we've had in the last 20 years. More people have some sort of connection with our churches, Catholic, Jewish synagogues, or Protestant of some kind, than in any time in the history of America. And yet, God help us. God help us. Sin, blasphemy, lawlessness were never so rampant as they are in this land of church members right now. We've had a revival of men getting on a broad, comfortable road, a religious road. But we haven't had a revival of men getting into a narrow way. That's narrowed because it's under the strict discipline of the living Lord. Which road are you walking? The road that has filled our church rolls and our penitentiaries at the same time. The road that has brought us to where the Congress is now debating the making of homosexuality legal in America. Think that through. Our Lord faithfully calls our attention in this scripture to two ways. First, a broad way. Second, a narrow way. I want you to indulge me as I read three or four scriptures before coming to say three things about this scripture tonight. This word way came to have tremendous significance in the Bible. I give you just one verse of scripture from the Old Testament. This word way in the New Testament and in the Old describes God's people. This narrow way does. And it describes a manner of living. Look in Psalms chapter 1, the verse, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows about it. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. They both have way. Let me read you just two or three scriptures. I'm fudging on you. I've got them marked out here so I can get to them quickly. In the book of Acts, all through the book of Acts, this little word, way, appears. In the 9th chapter, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, he went looking for the people of this way. Christians were called people of this way. And they were called people of this way because of what made them tick and their manner of life. If you find any of this way, whether they be men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem and get rid of them. Or again in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, at verse 9, when Paul's been debating in the synagogue for 3 months about the kingdom of God, the scriptures say, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. That way. That way. That way. You see, in the New Testament, Christianity was more than experience. It was a way. It was a journey that men traveled. It was a manner of living that they practiced. It was a philosophy of life that condemned every other way of looking at life. And then in the same chapter, the 19th chapter and verse 23, and the same time there arose no small stir about that way. That way. In the 24th chapter of Acts, there's two more verses. I want this to get into us. It will not book it. That way. This way. This way. Christianity is a way. It's a way. It's a way of life. And in the New Testament, stand up. How you gonna find anybody down there in Damascus of that way? Bless God, you'll find them out by their manner of living. They stick out. God knows how we need that now. People of that way. Not Baptists or Methodists, Presbyterians or church attenders, but men and women of a certain manner of living. That's our need today. We're dying without it. We're going to keep on going downhill. God Almighty doesn't come and breathe the Holy Ghost life on us. Quicken us. Make us alive. Men and women who stick out and are peculiar because of our way of looking at things and of the way we walk. In the 24th chapter of Acts, verse 14, Paul said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and the prophets. When he's brought before Felix in verse 22, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I'll know the uttermost of your matter. When he came to have a more perfect knowledge of that way. Of that way. Of that way. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way. How far, dear one, have we come from the New Testament? I've got a right to ask you, though. What makes the Goinsville Baptist congregation stick out in? If they start sending people down to lay hold of the people of that way, reckon they'll arrest you? People of a manner of living and a philosophy of life that is totally different from what's called religion today. Our Lord Jesus Christ plainly tells us there are two gates to be entered, one wide, one straight. There are two roads to be traveled, one's broad and the other's narrow. He could say through Jeremiah, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. The straight gate will get you into a narrow way that leads to life. The wide gate will get you into a broad way that leads to destruction. There are few that find the straight gate and walk the narrow way. The Lord said so. And there are many that find the wide gate and walk the broad road. There are but two possible destinations, our Lord said, for each of us. Either we're walking the path that leads to life, or the path that leads to the eternal torments of hell. And that we might know which road we're on, the Lord Jesus is very patient and faithful here to describe each one of them. He describes the entrance to both ways. As to the breath, one of them's wide, the other's very straight. As to the number, few find the straight gate, many find the wide gate. Few walk the narrow way, many walk the broad way. Our Lord said so. The Lord Jesus has ordained two distinct final abodes of men after this life, heaven or hell. And between them he's fixed a great gulf. Now this gulf is not acceptable to many, for we have a brand of people now that are not good enough for heaven, but they're not bad enough for hell. They believe, I suppose, in another place beside heaven or hell. There are more than two classes of people now, saints and sinners, the Bible speaks of. But Christ will not admit of more. With him, you're walking in light or darkness. With him, you're in truth or error. With him, it's Christ or Satan. With him, it's holiness or sin. With him, it's salvation or damnation. There is no middle ground. The Lord Jesus is pleased to describe this broad way. In the first place, we need to remember it's the way of religious profession. I hope to show tomorrow night there isn't a hypocrite on it. The people who are on it are sincere. The people who are on it are religious. The people who are on it are making some sort of an effort to live a Christian life. The people who are on it got on it by listening to false preaching. This broad road, there are no drunkards on it. There are no harlots on it. The profligate, no. This is not what he's talking about here. Everybody on this broad road calls Jesus Lord. I'm just quoting from the context here. Later on, they'll come to the Lord at the judgment and say, Lord, Lord, just look what we've done. Some of us have been preached in your name. Some of us have cast out demons, and we've done it in your name. Some of us have done many wonderful works, and we've done it in your name. And he'll say, depart from me, I never at any time knew. There was never any connection between me. You see, this broad way is the way of calling Jesus Lord, but not doing his will. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Who will, Lord, but he that doeth the will, my Father which is in heaven. It's hard for us to look at a scripture like that, because all the days of our life we've not paid a great deal of attention to the Bible. And these tremendous truths that have shocked us to our very depths, if we ever face them, we've heard them going one and out the other. My soul, I hope we're not so far gone that a verse like that wouldn't challenge us to the very depths of our being. Who's going to make it? He that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. He's the one that's going to make it. Not the one who professes something, but the one who cuts the mustard, brother. He that doeth the will of my Father. When on God's earth did we quit insisting that the heart of being right with Christ and joined to him is the power within us to make the will of God central and pursue it all the days of our life? That's what it means. This broad road is not the road of the harlots and drunkards. This broad road is the road of religious people. They believe error, not truth. I keep telling you. And you need to hear it. How long have we identified walking an aisle with getting to Christ? People actually say, I've been to Baptist churches. Now don't laugh at me. I've been to lots of Baptist churches where the people come to them and say, Brother Mark, when you're going to give people a chance to be saved? They mean by that, when am I going to give a public invitation? Why, the chance to be saved isn't resting with me. The Lord didn't give me the keys. They're in his hand. Isn't that silly? But I've been to places where they thought you couldn't get saved unless you went to the mourner's bench. I've been to others where they thought you couldn't get saved unless you walked an aisle. Now, isn't that silly? Now, any of those things all right if they don't prevent people from getting to Christ. But the only way on God's earth you can get savingly to Christ is believing and acting upon the truths about him and of him. You can go through the motions and miss the truth, you see. You can't get to Christ. He's not here in the flesh, is he? And he's dead sure not down here in this altar. He's not flying around here in the sky. The only way on God's earth is you can embrace Christ now. Just embrace him in the truth of him. I know I'm right there. And I labor it. But these folks on this broad road have made some sort of profession. They've at least with their lips called him Lord. That's right. They've listened to preach. They've listened to the false prophets. And they believe what they've been told. And they've acted on what they've been told. and to listen to the preachers who said it's so easy to be saved. And all you've got to do is believe on Jesus. But the fellows don't have the least idea what that involves. And so they've gone through the motions. And they've been doing the best they know how. But been getting deeper in the ditch all the time. Because they've just got a profession. To them, Christ is a name. Not an elder brother that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a myth and not a reality. So they go through the motion. This is a religious road. And it's a wide road. The Lord said so. A whole lot easier to walk on a wide road if everybody's walking along with you. Oh, do I speak to a child of God tonight? You know, a Christian needs to know at least another Christian. Or we need to be able to exhort one another and encourage one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Christianity is not something to be lived all by yourself. That's the reason you have what you call a church. And in the Old and New Testament days, the Apostle Paul will already feel the need of saying, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some already is, but the rather encouraging one another. My heart's gone out to some of these youngsters who come running down here weeping, stood up here, and sobbed, and made their commitments and asked your prayers. My, the hellish atmosphere they live in 24 hours a day. I hope it'll just keep on getting so bad. You tell a Christian, he's just got to go where there's some more Christians as often as he can. They'll grip each other's hand, pray one for another, and put their arms about the other and encourage them. They've got the ribs kicked in, the teeth knocked out, associating with this awful, lawless spirit that's everywhere. They need to be able to encourage one another. But if everybody's doing it now, making a profession, going down the wide road, pretty easy to go along, isn't it? And if only a few people are pressing through to the kingdom, striving to get in, walking in this way that's now made so much fun of, even by church people, this narrow way. That's why it horse a different color. This broad road's a very deceptive road. Strange to say, and people who are on it will keep on believing it, that the Holy Spirit leaves you alone. Everybody's on it is perfectly satisfied. Getting along fine, thank you. Don't plan to make any move. Want to be left alone. They're very well, thank you. They actually believe. They're as sincere as they can be. You're all right. But the Word of God says there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And the Lord says that this broad way, this religious way, that people are crowding into, it's a deceptive way. It leads to destruction. So said the Lord. It's fatal. Man that walks on it is set, headed for hopeless eternal destruction. religion of today conducts men, says the Lord, to the bottomless pit. The unquenchable fire, the undying worm, it's the way of the ungodly, and the scriptures declare, the way of the ungodly shall perish, and this broad way must be abandoned, and Clark's narrow way accepted, or a man will go to hell. There is no way of escape. Then he speaks of the narrow way, this way about which we read in the book of Acts. The gate that goes in it is very difficult. It's a narrow way. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves souls almost as much as we make out like we do, he just told us the truth, folks. Few there be that find it. Have you found it? Have you found it? And the Lord says this road needs to be entered. Enter ye in the straight gate. It gets you started on a narrow way that leads to life. But he says, in order for this road to be traveled, first must enter this straight gate. And in order to get in this straight gate that leads to this narrow way, you've got to seek for it. It's not going to run up and catch you unaware. Ladies and gentlemen, you can put it down that anybody that gets to Christ is going to seek Him with all of his heart. And you'll not let anybody speak peace to your soul except Him. Have you sought this straight gate until the only one who can give assurance has given it to you? That's the Holy Ghost. What is the seal of the Holy Spirit? It's assurance of salvation. And nobody can give a person assurance of salvation except the Holy Ghost. Your mother can't give it to you. I can't give it to you. Only the Holy Spirit. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost. That's an earth, that's a down payment, that's a pledge, that's a guarantee. The contract is going to be honored. But that's the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Have you sought this straight gate? Or have you been shot a cord? According to what they call salvation now, you can have this world and the next one too. According to Jesus, you got to make a choice. Can't have them both. You got to die to this one to get the other one. Oh, all this in heaven too, the old song went. But you can't have all this in heaven too. If you have all this, you'll have hell. You'll have to say goodbye to all this. If you have heaven, the broad road's easy. Anybody can walk it. All you got to do is make profession of faith and join church, not kill anybody, mouse to anything, put a little mud in the plate once in a while, go ahead and live like a hog. And the preacher will preach you into heaven at your funeral while you're in hell. But the narrow way is hard. The narrow way is hard. If you're trying to walk it, honey, you know what I'm talking about. This narrow way must be traveled. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There's no other way. And take up the cross, that's death, and follow me. It must be traveled. There is no such thing as God failing to bring the Christian perfection everybody he sees. Now, sovereign God could do it to the thief on the cross in a half a second. But how long it takes most of you will live a while after you become a Christian. And the evidence that you've become a Christian will be that you walked in the narrow way. Too long, dear folks, we've had to put up with people saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm not living for the Lord. Now that's silly, folks. That's silly. That won't square with the Bible. People like that are sincere, but they're confusing a profession of faith they make or a good feeling they experience with salvation. But salvation is neither a profession or a feeling. Salvation is to be joined to a living Lord. And that's different. You can't walk with a living Lord without living before him. And if you're not walking with him, you don't know him. Isn't that so? This narrow way must be traveled. And the gate that leads into this walk is so narrow that it will not admit those who are loaded with weapons of rebellion against God. You can't squeeze through if you walk arm in arm with this world. To enter this gate, the gate goes into this way, the heart will have to be humble. Sinful pleasures, relinquish worldly companions, abandon. Christ submitted to as teacher, savior, and Lord. This gate is but the entrance to the road that must be walked. It's not a flowery bed of ease. It's bound by the will of God. It's uphill. It's marked by steady perseverance in faith and obedience. What evidence does anybody have that they began right, got in this straight gate? The only evidence we have, according to the Bible, is that we're walking the narrow way. That's the only evidence. Any other thing you're depending on is not scripture. I know that, dear one. Are you walking this Christ discipline, self-denying way of death? That's the only evidence you've got. You haven't got that, you haven't got it. But thank God this narrow way that you get in by an straight gate. Thanks be unto God. It leads to life. It leads to life. My Lord said it did. It leads to life. That other road leads to destruction. My Lord said it did. This narrow way, this self-denial way, this daily dying way, this holy way of obedience to the teachings of the Lord, this life of daily repentance and daily mourning over sin, daily panting to be like the Lord, daily heartbreak that you make such poor progress in Christ-likeness. Thank God that way. You know where it ends in life. not death, not destruction, but life. But life. It leads to life now. Leads to life there. Now the very earnest of it. We taste, it's good. We go to heaven before we die. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven. We enter in the life of the Spirit. Peace. Joy. Now. How beautiful it must be when without all the restraints of our bodies still carrying the seeds of death, we get a new body. How wonderful life will be then. This road's too narrow. The way's too steep. It's too hard for anybody who's not able in the power of the Holy Ghost to get in the straight gate, which simply means to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. For this power in His blood to enable God to forgive you. And this power in His life yonder at the throne to enable you to overcome. This is the victory. This is how we overcome. What is it? Even our faith. Faith is being joined to a living Lord. More real than any saint in this life, or not real at all. Men and women are invited and commanded and enjoined and admonished by my blessed Lord. Agonize. They enter in the straight gate. Agony. The law and the prophets were until John, and now the kingdom of God is entered by violence, says the scripture. You're not going to make it to heaven, my brother, unless that becomes the greatest surge and desire of your life. You're not going to get to Jesus Christ saving us until He becomes the object of your intense search and desire. In the day that thou shalt seek me with all of thine heart, I shall surely be found of thee. But the half-hearted search won't get the job done. How the preacher wishes that he knew how it is with every one of you eternity-bound people. But of course I do not know. If I knew and I had the power, I'd lock these windows and lock these doors if I had the power. And I'd come and sit down by you. And if I had the power, I wouldn't let you go. Did you abandon that old broad road that's leading you to hell? Began a search for this straight gate. Leads to a narrow way that leads to life. Oh, my Lord, says strive to give in. Strive to give in. For God's sake, don't some of you know that here's admonition? and for your soul's sake. Cry to God to show you. He's the only one that can. Our Father, best I know how, I ask you, if I'm not taking liberty with you, I ask you that the Holy Ghost shall be kind to people here tonight who do not know the Lord Jesus, the lovely Lord, an adorable Savior. Not been able to get to Him and experience His power in their life, the cleansing of His blood. If I'm not presuming, I beg you to take the words of the Lord and ignore my little old sputtering. But the words of our Lord, make them real to somebody here tonight. Strive to enter in. Get in the straight gate. Do not be satisfied with anything less than reality. Become a seeker after the Lord. Now we've come to the time when people make their response. It's a time of great trembling. The time, Lord, that we are not sufficient for.